Although today is the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, I wanted to speak today on a very important feast that is commemorated today, and that is the feast of Pope St. Pius X. Pope St. Pius X was Pope from 1903 until 1914 when he died, and he was canonized a saint in a relatively short time by Pope Pius XII in 1954, so only 40 years after he died. And this was because he was indeed a very great saint and a pope who was critical for our times. Among the many very good things that he did as pope, I wanted today to point out three of them for which he's most known, and that is his battle against the heresy of modernism, and second, his decree on promoting daily Holy Communion among adults and children, and third, his decree insisting on giving children Holy Communion as early as possible, at the earliest age possible. In regard to modernism, this heresy, Pope Pius X called the synthesis of all heresies. In a private letter that he wrote to a bishop who was urging him to be more moderate in his fight against the modernists, he said, I'm shocked that you say we should be more moderate. He says, this heresy is worse than the heresies of the time of Luther. And we know the heresies in the time of Luther when whole countries fell away from the faith, fell away from the church. And Pius X said, this heresy of modernism is worse. It destroys the entire faith. It's not just one dogma, one thing denied, but a complete destruction of all belief in God. And modernism taught dogmatic relativism, the idea that the church can change her dogmas, change what she believes, and also moral relativism, that the idea that the morals of the church can change. And that is utterly contrary to our faith. Many years ago, I was, in the first years of priesthood, I was traveling on a plane and sat next to an elderly gentleman who was not dressed as a priest, but he introduced himself as a retired priest from Michigan. And I started chatting with him. He had been ordained in the 1950s. And I asked him, what did he think when the changes came? He said, oh, I was waiting for them. And he started going on this praising all the changes and started talking about how the church can change what she believes. And I let him go on for a little while, and then I said, but you know, everything you just said was condemned in the oath against modernism that Pope St. Pius X required all priests to take before they could even be ordained a priest. And if you were ordained in the 1950s, then surely you must have taken that oath. And he refused to answer me because there was no answer he could give that would not be a complete condemnation of him, that would not indicate that he had committed mortal sin. Either he could say that, yes, I took the oath, in which case he's now had violated it, or he could say, no, I didn't take the oath, in which case it would have been a serious sin of disobedience. Or he could say, yes, I took the oath, but I didn't mean any of it, in which case it would be a serious sin of a fictitious oath. So by this oath against modernism and various other means, Pope St. Pius X made great efforts to squash this heresy of modernism. And unfortunately, we have seen in our day the fruit of it since Vatican II, as there were still many modernists who remained in secret, who kept their modernism quiet until John the 23rd, and then they just came out of the woodwork. On the decree of daily Holy Communion, this is very interesting. There was a debate going long back, the time of the Jansenists. For centuries, the Jansenist heretics they claimed to be Catholic. Many remained within the church, and many priests fell into their errors. This rigid heresy of believing that you could almost never be worthy to receive Holy Communion, and therefore you should rarely go to Holy Communion. During the 1800s, there was a great fight against this Jansenist influence. Many good priests were saying, no, you should be allowed to go daily to Holy Communion, because it's not because we're worthy for communion, it's because we need Holy Communion. And this debate went on and on, and saints like St. John Bosco promoted daily Holy Communion. Monsignor Segur, Father Frassinetti, whose sister was beatified. And this came to a head under Pope St. Pius X. And there was a very prominent theologian in Belgium in 1905 who wrote a couple hundred pages or a few hundred pages of this great tome. He was going to finally lay down the law and prove that based on St. Alphonsus and all these other arguments he tried to wrongly use, to prove that you shouldn't be allowed to go to daily communion unless you're practically perfect. And even then, you should stay away from communion one day a week, just the same. And he just finished this book, and just as he published it, Pope St. Pius X came out with his decree saying the opposite, condemning those errors and saying, no, communion is a remedy, and you do not need to be almost perfect to receive communion. There's only two conditions, that you're in a state of grace and that you go with a right intention. That right intention means we go to receive our Lord because we love him, because we want the help to overcome our sins. It did not require all these other conditions these theologians were laying down. And then some tried to question and said, well, but yes, so adults can go daily to communion, but children shouldn't. So another decree in 1906 said, no, children not only can, but they should go to daily communion. They need it. They need our Lord. And lastly, the decree Pope St. Pius X is so well known for, in 1910, Quam Singulari, his decree on early communion for children. This was part of the combat of these Jansenist errors. The Jansenists, who thought you should rarely go to communion, also thought children need to be very much older. It was not uncommon to make children wait to 12 or even 14 or even later before they were allowed to receive our Lord. And the sad thing, as Pope St. Pius X said in his decree, is this meant that most children who, before they ever once received Jesus, had already lost sanctifying grace by mortal sin in their soul, because they were corrupted by sin, because they did not have our Lord to help them. And as Cardinal Jorio, 20 years later, commenting on this decree, he was the secretary for the Sacred Congregation of the Sacraments, he said, at the age of 8, it is already too late to prevent the ruinous example of the family and the social environment from destroying all religious and moral sentiments in youth. Pope Pius X knew this. He knew that if, especially in the modern world where children are attacked with so much evil in the environment around them, and even in the family that has broken down, that they would never preserve the state of grace without receiving Jesus early in Holy Communion. And so he decreed, not only can they, but there was a obligation under pain of serious sin, even no matter what age they were, even younger than seven, to receive Holy Communion, as long as they met the minimum requirement of the decree. And what is that requirement? This is what the decree of Pope St. Pius X said. The only knowledge that is required, it said, in a child is to be, is that he will understand according to his capacity those mysteries of faith which are necessary as a means of salvation, and that he can distinguish between the bread of the Eucharist and ordinary material bread, and thus he may receive Holy Communion with a devotion becoming to his years. And what are those truths that, when we, it's a theological term, the truths that are necessary as a means of salvation? All theologians say they are no more than four. Some say less than four. And that is that God exists, that he rewards the good and punishes the wicked. In other words, there's heaven and hell, there's eternal consequences. The Trinity, three persons in one God, and the Incarnation, that is, that God the Son, the second person, became man and died for our sins. That's all the child, according to Pope Pius X, is required to know, and then to be able to distinguish, to know what Holy Communion is, that it is Jesus, that it is not bread. And we can see how much more, sadly, is often required. But this is what Pope St. Pius X said is required, and nothing more. And there was a priest who thought he was doing good. He wrote a First Communion Catechism, and he sent a copy to Pius X. And Pius X wrote back this: leave this kind of publication alone. Oral instruction is sufficient for very little children. And Cardinal Gennari, who worked very closely hand in hand with Pope St. Pius X on this decree, he said after the decree was issued, "It is very clear that the use of small catechisms for First Communion is useless and harmful. It is useless because, as has been said, oral instruction which can be given in a single day is enough, as long as the child learns and believes what is said to him, without the need to learn formulas by heart. It is harmful because one forces the child to wait some time to remember the things written therein, whereas he has a need, a very strict duty, to unite with Jesus Christ from the first dawn of his reason, which duty falls on those who care for him. Therefore, remove these small First Communion catechisms from the hands of the child." And the Secretary of State of Pope Pius XI, the next pope, Cardinal Gasparri, who's well known for his work on the Code of Canon Law, he said it's not necessary that a child previous to First Communion should learn by heart the Apostles' Creed and the Act of Contrition, but he must study them and understand them. See how little Pius X required, and why? Because he knew that Jesus Christ would do more for that child than any parent or teacher ever could. He said that, as Cardinal Jorio explains, the old erroneous idea was that catechism was a preparation for First Communion. That was backwards. Instead, communion is the preparation for learning the catechism, because it will help the child. Our Lord himself will help the child. And to those who said, "Oh, but children don't know, they don't understand enough," in Pope Pius X's decree, he quoted a theologian from a few centuries earlier, Ledesma, who had said, it is sufficient the child have a confused idea of what he is doing. You see, we tend to forget the power of the sacraments. And Cardinal Gennari, answering this when he says that some say the child's not ready, he said, "It is said that when children approach the altar at a more mature age, they receive Holy Communion with a greater veneration and greater fruits. But we must consider that this most divine sacrament was not instituted as a reward for virtue, but as a medicine for souls, and thus the teaching of the Council of Trent. Supposing that veneration of the divine sacrament cannot be complete in small children, it is well compensated by their innocence. In fact, innocence makes up for greater instruction." And Father Lentello, who wrote a booklet especially approved by Pope Pius X, he said, "The giddiness, changeableness of disposition, and lack of fixed attention during preparation and thanksgiving afford no justification for defrauding the little ones of the heavenly bread. It is the right of every soul in the state of grace, and these children receive it in their simple, although perhaps imperfect way, in order that Jesus may help them to be good, or better still, moved by an innocent love of him. Faults are reasons for, and not against, the use of this remedy, and the more numerous and persistent the faults are, the more numerous and urgent are the reasons for taking it." And I think when parents don't give their children opportunities for frequent Holy Communion, or they think they're not good enough for it, I think it's like a parent who says to a sick child, "You're sick, therefore you don't deserve your medicine. Get a little better from your sickness, and then I will give you your medicine." We would think that would be absurd. But it is the same if we don't realize Holy Communion is our medicine. And so after this decree, children began to receive Holy Communion very much younger. In fact, another Italian priest, Canon Antoni, who worked also closely with Pius X on this, he gave communion after the decree was issued to a little girl of 3. And he wrote to Pius X and told him what he did, and Pius X was so delighted he sent a letter with a special papal blessing for this girl through Cardinal Gennari. And then Cardinal Gennari himself gave communion to his great nephew, who was also only 3, because they had a great love for Jesus, a desire to receive him. And so let us remember, the devil well knows the things that cause him to lose souls, and he fights them. And it's providential the church also knows, providential the church in our times has promoted especially devotion to Mary with the various papal definitions of the Immaculate Conception, the Assumption, promotion of the Rosary, and also frequent Holy Communion to the faithful, because the church knows, just as the devil knows, that our devotion to Mary and frequent communion keep us from sin. The devil will do all he can to keep you away from communion, to make you less devout to Mary. The true popes in the past have fought the modern errors with these remedies. So think of this, and when you go to Holy Communion, remember, the right intention to go is not because you're perfect or holy, but because you want to be, and ask our Lord for this grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.